smoking, thanks Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in the tall grass, intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last, we up one, you see me? Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast, at the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch, really famous homie, and you know it's in me, it ain't on me. So creative like I made Adobe, I've been balling like I play with Kobe.
What's the deal, politicking the podcast? We back again Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Let's get to these topics, man. First topic, NBA free agency starts tomorrow. Who will make the biggest splash? Kyrie Irving, is he on the move again? Draymond Green, is he going back to the Warriors? Or will he leave? James Harden has to opt out. Will he opt out or will he opt in? What's his future? Let's get to Dame, man. So Dame Dolla is still in Portland. Should Dame force a trade out of Portland to a contender and try to get him a championship, or should he stay put and trust the process over there in Portland? Every year, the NFL chooses a Hard Knocks team to cover over the preseason. We got a lot of great storylines. Who do you think should get Hard Knocks? The leading candidate right now is the New York Jets as they acquired Aaron Rodgers. Casanova two times. He was taken to jail in the RICO case with the Blackstone Gorillas in New York after he blew trial, man. So it looks like he got sentenced to 15 years in federal prison. And the GOP pushes through the House articles of impeachment for Joe Biden. So now they're attempting to impeach Joe Biden. This shit is wild. Well, let's bring in a co-host, man. We got the famous homie, Ken Chronicles, and the mayor, man. What's the deal?
What's up, fellas?
Man, happy to be back, man. So let's get to this first topic, man. NBA free agency. Who you think is actually going to make the biggest splash and actually make a move that no one is expecting? What's your thoughts on this free agent market?
I'll go first. I'm sorry. I have to go first.
That's all you, Mayor.
That, bro, gentlemen, Bradley Beal to Phoenix threw me for a complete loop. I did not see that coming whatsoever. And because of that, I'm lost. I've seen so many like pretend stories. I saw one earlier today that said Austin Reeves and Van Bleet for Paul George. I'm like, nah, that's never going to happen. Never going to happen. I saw Alex Caruso for Van Bleet and for D'Angelo Russell. Something crazy like that. I mean, just the most random, you know, random, I want to say role players, but, you know, good players that can go anywhere because the NBA is still kind of wide open. So I don't know what to say. And then let's not forget how much I love playing point guard. So to see CP3 go to Golden State, and that wasn't a free agent move. That was a part of that whole Bradley Beal trade. You guys can talk about whatever you want. I don't even think any of the free agents matter anymore. They're all going to be trade bait. Like, they're going to do sign and trades for a lot of these gentlemen, because from James Harden to Kyrie to even Middleton, I mean, they can really fit in any system if they're willing to follow the system. They're almost at the end of their star moment, you know? Like, prime is over now. Some of these guys just got to give it up.
I think it's been one of the more dry free agency periods of summer times in recent memory. The possibility Kyrie could move, the possibility he stay. Obviously, where Kyrie goes, whatever team he lands on, he's going to be a player that's going to make an immediate impact wherever he goes. He go to the Lakers. If he stays with Dallas, wherever Kyrie goes or stays, is going to make an impact. So, looking for Kyrie in free agency. As far as who else do we see up there? I mean, it's not a lot of marquee names available in free agency, to be honest. I think maybe signing trades are more of a threat. You know, the Clippers are trying to dump Paul George, allegedly. The Lakers are looking to upgrade, of course, because, you know, LeBron James always needs more help. A lot of teams are looking to upgrade via trade. You know, we saw that the Chris Paul to the Golden State Warriors, which made no fucking sense. I can't get one hoop head to explain to me where that makes sense. So I don't think that's the last hoop Golden State is going to make.
Statistics.
I still trust Golden State because they've been the greatest, you know, they had the greatest management in the last 7-8 years getting players and plugging in players to keep winning championships. So I trust them, but they just got new management, I found out. So I don't know what the fuck they're doing over there. Bradley Beal to the Suns made no sense. Who's going to play point guard? Why do you have Devin Booker and Bradley Beal who does the same thing together on the court at the same time and no point guard? And you got DeAndre Ayton who's just going to be sitting over there running laps because you got three scores. Like, what? I don't know. What the hell are you doing over there? The shit is confusing right now. Like, the NBA conference is looking really weird right now. The Eastern Conference is looking really strong. With the trade with Marcus Smart and Porzingis over there in Boston, and you know, of course, the Embiid getting heavy, James Harden. At this point, James Harden is not, I don't think he's an impact player anymore. I mean, he still can hoop, he still got skills, he can dribble, he can shoot, but impact, he don't have the same impact that he did in his peak, and his impact at his peak wasn't that good either. So, I don't think, unless James Harden is going to be a guy that's going to be a spot-up shooter or a role player, I don't think it's important where he goes. I don't care if he stays in Philly, they're not winning. I don't care if he goes to Golden State, they're not winning. So, you know, that's all I got for the free agents.
What you got, Ken?
In terms of free agency, I think who can make the biggest impact, I would say more – I would have to go with Draymond if he does decide to leave. I mean – just because he's a defensive general, I mean, as we all know, I think that he's a leader in the locker room. I think that he's a leader on the court as well. And I see that he has the ability to take a team that struggles defensively. He can definitely take them over the hump and at least make a team a playoff team. I mean, at the very least. So I think he still has a lot of value. But see, here's the thing. I don't think that he's worth $100 million. I don't think he's a $100 million player, other than if he stays within the system where he is. But I still don't think him staying is going to get Golden State over any kind of humps because they're just too small. But I say he would have more of a splash if he was to leave.
So what's the deal, y'all?
What up?
So NBA free agencies, man. We got Draymond. We got Dylan Brooks out there. Nobody talking about Dylan Brooks.
Man,
he's a liability.
He's gonna play. The Lakers, y'all don't want that Dylan Brooks.
No,
they're gonna get
no.
Him.
Yes, they no. Do. No.
Lakers want everybody. No. Yes, they no. Do.
We do not want Dylan Brooks. We do not want Dylan.
Lakers want everybody.
No, we're glad we take Draymond Green. We'll take Draymond Green, but we're not paying him $100 million, just like Ken said.
You can't pay
much.
For what?
All right, what you got, y'all?
Going off of what Ronnie was saying, I mean, this is like a boring free agency. Ain't nothing really going on. Ain't no real game changers anymore. I mean, James Harden was a game changer at one point in time, but once everybody caught on to his little three-step travel, whatever they want to call it, then he fell off. So a lot of teams don't have a lot of cap space. I mean, unless you're going to Houston got a whole bunch of cap space for you, but who are you going to play with? And some teams probably feel that they're only a couple pieces away to getting over the hump. I mean, the Sacramento Kings surprised everybody, right? But
facts.
I mean, Draymond to the Kings, that would be a good move because everybody knows Sabonis. You can put him at power forward, then you got more defense, and Draymond has the experience. you know, that can make sense. But other than that, this is kind of a boring free agency unless people are going to make some trades. You know, the Lakers are going to make some trades because y'all don't build, so y'all just trade. So we know the Lakers are going to do that. And then other than that, only thing that matters in free agency is if my boy Derrick Rose goes back to Chicago, because that means he's about to retire, and I'm going to need some courtside tickets to watch my boy do his farewell tour all day, every day, man. You know, y'all don't know. I'm about to get sponsored by D Rose. Y'all just don't know. But other than that, free agency is boring. Ain't nobody really to talk about. Denver won the whole. Oh, you're here, Mayor. Oh my goodness, I've been waiting for you to come. Let me get this off right quick, Caleb. Oh man, I've been waiting for you to come on here. It's been like weeks, bro. I called a couple weeks ago on this podcast that the Lakers was gonna get swept, and it was just me, Caleb, and Ronnie. And,
I watched the podcast. I heard what you said.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to let you know my prediction was right.
No, I know. And you remember what I said as well. I had said from, I think, almost every episode that 17 beats zero. And that when we keep on doing what we do, it only gives Caleb and Clipper Nation less and less relevancy. We got one more season before they're up out of our house. So I'll get swept in the Western Conference Finals.
All right, man.
When we weren't supposed to be there.
Let me get this closing remark. So I think that the NBA free agency is dead, and it's going to be dead going forward because everybody was taking those 2-and-2 deals like LeBron was, where they can opt in for those last 2 years, and everybody was opting out. They ain't getting the offer that no more. And then the rookie scale – the rookie pay scale. Now you get people on these rookie contracts. You ain't re-ing up early like you used to. So now you stuck and the money ain't flowing. Then there was no trade clause. Bradley Beal was the last one with a no trade clause in the NBA. So now they ain't going to control. And with the CBA changing this offseason, you know, the salary cap, you're going to be forced to spend the minimum salary cap. Now these teams can't tank and just save all this money. They have to spend the minimum on players. So I don't think that these big splashes as far as free agency is really going to be happening going forward, unless you just after your rookie deal, you decide to go somewhere else. But if you re-up after that rookie deal, you pretty much stuck where you at. And then the way that these contracts are set up, the team that you're on could sign you for 30, 40, 50 million more than if you leave and go somewhere else. So, like, damn, now if I leave, I'm going to lose 20, 30, 40, 50 million? That shit is ridiculous. So, I don't know, man. That shit, I just think that the NBA and the CBA, after LeBron James took the power and put it with the players, the league is definitely snatching that power back, and we won't be seeing these massive 30-star free agencies no more. Once these old dudes is out of here, like James Harden and Kyrie Irving and all these dudes, we're going to be seeing role players hitting free agency, and that's it.
Well, I mean, the piggyback on that, Caleb, like, you remember they were talking, or everybody's been hinting about maybe a NBA expansion team in Seattle or in Las Vegas, right? And with Denver winning this last championship after sweeping the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, right? That was the first team that hadn't won that wasn't, what, from Houston or from LA, right? And it was like this whole big thing with where all the titles are really held right now. The NBA is so boring. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about scoring. Like, we had how many 50-point games this season? You know what I mean? Like, people hit 60-point games. Like, somebody had a 70-point game. Like, and I don't know who it was, and I'm probably sure I can think of it fast enough, but right now it's not relevant because I'm from a generation that we talked about, what, championships, right? That's why we argue and banter back and forth about it the way we do. But now it's not about that. It's about social media followers. It's about like endorsement deals. You know what I mean? Like, we're literally looking at the last of a dying breed of basketball, where what's to come in the next 5 years? Like, LaMelo Ball is actually in the NBA, and he's one of the top 10 players, not because of stats, but because of fan base. You know what I mean? And when he was that little kid that shot he pointed down at the line and pulled that half court three pointer, we were like, ain't no way he's going to make it. Like, even though the hype was there, it was just like for me as a coach, I'm like, I don't know. And there's more kids following that than just following the Steph Curry deep three point shot. So the game is changing. Like, it's changing a lot. And as a Laker fan, I think Denver might end up winning next year.
So you said the 70-point game. I believe the guy that dropped that 70-point game was my guy Dame Time, our next subject. So Dame Time, man, one of the most prolific scorers in the league, bona fide superstar, with no C.J. McCollum, no second star, no team really around him in Portland, should he force a trade out of Portland, or should he stay put? They just drafted Scoot Henderson. What do you think Dame should do? Should he try to get with a contender and force his way out of Portland, like we've seen Kevin Durant do, or should he stay put, work with the Portland Trailblazers, and maybe contend for a title within the next 2 to 5 years? What's y'all thoughts?
Dame, let me kick it off. Dame will never win a championship. He'll never win a championship. I think that Dame, he likes to stick to being a loyalist, and that gives him every excuse not to go after and execute an NBA championship. I'm tired of talking about Dame Lillard, man. I'm tired of talking about him. Yes, he's been in the tough West, but he's also had opportunity. And at this point, he's, like I said, he's looking for any excuse not to win so that he can say that, hey, I stay loyal to an organization. That's it. It's a bunch of malarkey at this point, man.
Dang. I see what Ken's saying on that. It is getting exhausting. I look at it a little bit differently. Dame, you know, he is trying to stick it out with a franchise, not just on being on loyalist, but maybe the nigga comfortable. I mean, maybe he enjoying himself living in Portland. He don't want to uproot his family if he don't have to. Maybe it's more to it than just him trying to claim to be a loyalist to an organization that don't give a shit about him. I think it's more of, I've seen this dude. He has played in it. I think him and Carmelo have similar stories. The West has been tough. Dame has been around for the Golden State Warriors, for the KD and Harden OKC, you know, the Spurs. You know, he's been around for a lot of these powerhouse Western Conference teams, having to face these teams by himself. Everybody makes it a big deal when certain other players ain't got no help, like LeBron or whoever. He don't got no help. Dame has never had help. He has never had a second superstar outside of LaMarcus Aldridge at the tail end of his run when Dame was a baby. But when Dame got to his prime, he ain't never had no second star to help him. And he's gotten to the Western Conference Finals, got swept by Golden State, but by himself. Like, so at this point, he has to decide, is the organization going to put the pieces around? Do anyone want to come play in Portland? When did you last time we seen a big-time free agent sign in Portland? We haven't seen it. Can they make trades? Can they trade Scoot Henderson for Paul George? Can they do something like that? If they can't, then you want to win a championship, you got to get the fuck up out of there. It's a new NBA. All these new niggas is winning because they left teams. LeBron leaves every year and wins. Not every year, but he won.
He left. Ryan, you hate LeBron, man. You
don't
hate LeBron.
No.
He hate LeBron. One thing going to happen is Yajikete going to talk about Derrick Rose. And
it's fact, but it's fact.
Ronnie's going to talk about LeBron every time.
It's fact, sir. It's not like I'm bringing him up out of the blue. He is relevant because he's the one that, the star that started this team hopping stuff. Then Kevin Durant followed. Like, LeBron started this team hopping stuff for superstars. You know what I'm saying? So why not go ahead and – is anyone going to look back and say, look at LeBron or KD's championships and be like, they didn't win. They only won because their team hot. 20 years from now is not going to matter. So, Dame, go ahead and follow and go get on the super team and try to get you a couple rings. Get the fuck up out of Portland. Portland ain't doing shit for you. Shit.
And on the note of Dame, I mean, if Dame is not trash, like anybody on here that would say that they would not have Dame Leonard on their team is smoking. Dame Leonard is still that guy. He's still got the skills. Only thing that is stopping Dame is his loyalty to Portland. But that is different than Carmelo in a way, because Dame ain't chasing the money. Carmelo went, he chased the bag. That's what Carmelo did. He went and to go chase the bag. That's what happened to Melo. He didn't stay in Denver. He went to go chase the bag. Okay, cool. He got the bag. And now he's not in the NBA and he retired out of nowhere. But he can't even get back in the league. But with Dame, ain't nobody going to Portland. Ronnie's making a good point when, like, LeBron changed the whole narrative of everything, of everybody getting doing this whole super team thing. Like, if LeBron didn't do that, you know, we'd be sitting here talking about maybe OKC is one of the greatest teams and one of the greatest franchises, because you had James Harden, which is at one point was a superstar. They had Westbrook, and then they had KD. So, like, Dame, he just got to make the decision if he's going to really just go, I'm going to go against everything I've been preaching to everybody. I've been preaching stay loyal to one team. And is he just going to go, you know what? I'm going to a different team.
You know, can I say one more thing? You know what? I would just sit here thinking, man, I feel as though if he does actually leave and he doesn't win, I think that kind of hurts his legacy too, though.
Yeah, they do.
I think that the pressure.
I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm.
I think the pressure of him having to win, if you leave, it has to be like the best situation, you have to win. Look at the way Kevin Durant is right now, choosing to leave the Warriors, and the Warriors won one without him. Now it's like, if you don't win one in Brooklyn, oh, super failure. Now you're in Phoenix with another super team. If you don't win one in Phoenix, now your legacy is tarnished. And now it's like, could you ever win? Did you just go join Steph Curry to get a couple rings? Or was you ever that guy?
But there is speculation that I've seen a couple times of, if Dame was to leave, and I do agree with it, if Dame was to leave, I heard that he going to Miami. Now, if Dame go to Miami, Miami's already getting the championships with just Jimmy Butler.
I mean, he has to do it, because nowadays people don't really analyze basketball. They listen to commentators and they base their opinion off of
– and they watch highlights.
And they watch highlights. Like, we talking about – I'm going to touch on – I know we got to move on to the next topic, but let me touch on Melo real quick.
I didn't even get to talk yet. You scandalous, bro.
No, I'm mad. I'm gonna say it real quick. I'm gonna shut up.
Go ahead. I'm not mad.
Let's look at Melo real quick.
Hey, don't shoot on Melo. Don't shoot on Melo.
I'm defending Melo.
Okay, I love Melo because you know I love Melo. That's my guy.
Look, Melo, he made the playoffs every single year that he was in the West with the Denver Nuggets, right?
Facts.
Who was Melo's best player on the Denver Nuggets? Chauncey Billups.
Allen Iverson, but they didn't even go far.
Chauncey Billups is a good player, but he's not a great player. So Melo played in a conference with two of the top seven players to ever play in Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan.
He played with Dame too.
Add on Kevin Garnett. Add on Dirk Nowitzki. Add on Steve Nash. And look at all the great teams he had to battle in the West with no help. So people always want to shit on Carmelo for what he didn't do. But he played in the toughest conference in NBA history, and he didn't have no help in Denver. It was him. and an old Allen Iverson for a couple of years, and then Chauncey Billups. And that's it. He ain't never had no super team or no team to compete against the Tim Duncans and the Kobe's and the Dirks and Steve Nash and the Kevin Garnett's. All those great, all those guys are the top 20, 25 players to ever play. So we need to stop shitting on Carmelo so much. I mean, he didn't get a fair shake to me. That's all.
That 09 Nuggets team wasn't solid, Alvin?
It was
no, good. They did the Western. They went to the Western Conference Finals. That's when they traded Allen Iverson for Chauncey Billups. That's when he ended up with Detroit. They got rid of George Karl, and they were good. I mean,
they lost to the Cavs.
Like, look, no disrespect, right? I'm just as big of a Carmelo fan as Ya is for Derrick Rose. Okay, I don't really accept the whole retirement thing because I feel like he's still capable of putting up buckets and he could be a role player. He could take a vet minimum. You know what I mean? He would play basketball. You feel me? He could even go overseas, but he's not important right now. No disrespect to him. But Dame Lillard has the opportunity right now to be like Carmelo, but at the same time, Carmelo won USA Dream Team. We're not Dream Team, but USA basketball gold medals, right? He's considered right now maybe what the best or set like top two USA men's basketball players in like history wise, blah, 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 because of his point total score, point per game, all that stuff. Dame Lillard didn't win a gold medal for USA, did he? And if he did, I'm sorry. But what he's done so far in the game with Portland. I mean, come on, he has the most iconic, or not most, but he has one of the most iconic signature, like, celebrations. You think about the shots that he's made from, you know, rookie year all the way to current. You think about even just winning this last three-point contest in his college uniform. He's loyal. He has his kids. He has his wife. There's nothing that he has to lose if he doesn't leave. And that's something that we all have to accept, that he's more our generation. Like, he's more of us than he is of this new NBA. And if he has the right type of money with all the different endorsements that he has, we don't know who he has as a man. I mean, we could probably Google and find out who he has as a manager, but we have no idea how he's spent his money, how he's invested his money, what his real net worth is. So maybe he's at the point right now where he knows he's still getting better at the game, but wants a good legacy for his children to look at for how you're supposed to live your life on and off the court. Because if he changes who he is as a person to go and chase a chip and loses, just like Ken said, if he loses after leaving, everything is for shit.
Yeah, there's nothing else to talk about.
I mean, like Dame time. Oh, yeah, Dame should have knew what time it was when he decided to leave Portland. He should have stayed there if he was just gonna lose. I mean, I could only imagine the piss poor basketball players that are trying to flame his decision to leave Portland to go chase an NBA championship. Where if he stayed in my mind, he's Hall of Fame hands down, first ballot. Nobody would not vote him first ballot, right? If he leaves and doesn't win, now it's a question. You know what I mean? Now the question mark changes every single inch of his legacy. So if I was him, I'd stay. I forced him to have to make a huge trophy or a statue of me in front of the arena. My jersey, you know what I'm saying? My jersey would get in the rafters. I'd break every statistical record that the franchise had. And I go down as the best Blazer in history and, could be one of the most loyal NBA superstars of all time. Because right now, what else do you have? Like, we're talking about championships like it matters, right? Because we're not in the NBA. Y'all knows I got a lot of little bullshit adult league championships. Ain't nobody give me no respect. My old ass has got a 19.16 rebound, 10 assists, triple-double Sunday in a back-to-back playoff game. Do you guys care? Fuck no, because I'm not in the NBA.
I do.
I love you for that, bro. But, I mean, in retrospect, because I'm not
in the NBA. Did y'all win?
Yeah, we won. Oh, yeah, we won 100-52, then turned around and had a play again and won 56 or 86-85. And I actually played against it. I played on the team that we played against. So I got to talk shit after the game. Like, you see, I got that bronze factor. Yeah, exactly.
What game was that triple double in? The first one or the second one?
The first one.
So you was I don't believe those stats. I don't believe those stats.
Oh, well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? We all follow each other on Instagram. So if you saw my story, you know it was actually not me saying it. It was actually facts. But I'm only saying that because I'm not in the league. You know what I'm saying? I'm playing my little adult league. I'm trying to do my thing or whatever. But if I'm if I was in the league, I'd be Dame Lillard. I'd stay at the team I'm at. I'd force them to pay me the money I want, and I'd sit there and wait. Like, hey, Kalen, would you like to leave Seattle and come over here and play with me in Portland, bro? Even if you don't win, I got some good businesses over here that I got, you know, majority ownership in. We can, you know, we can help you make some money on the other side. And then, you know, there's good schools that the kids go to. It could be a lucrative situation if you came this way. I'm just saying.
I want to see those stats, man.
I'm gonna send it to you. I promise you.
I don't believe it.
I promise you. I'm gonna send it to you right now. We got championship Sunday. We got championship Sunday. When we win, I'm gonna post it on Instagram. Big trophy.
Tag me.
Big trophy. All right.
Trying to get assists. He was Russell Westbrook.
I did. No, I actually did it for Melo, and every rebound, I said, get the fuck out of here. And every three, I threw up the three. So, yeah.
All right, let's get to this NFL, man. So, you know, in July, mostly every team starts their mini camps, their mandatory mini camps. And the NFL selects a team to follow during off-season mini camps up into preseason. And it's called Hard Knocks. Now, we got Odell Beckham going over there in Baltimore. We got the 49ers with their quarterback controversy. We got Aaron Rodgers going over there to the Jets. You know, we got the Bengals losing to the Chiefs, looking like they're the only team on the AFC that can possibly knock off the Chiefs. We got a lot of storylines going on in the NFL this year. So which team do you think has, like, the best storyline that you would like to see be the star of Hard Knocks, you know? They usually pick an up-and-coming team that's on the cusp of coming from the slums to being a winning, a playoff team. What's y'all thoughts on all these NFL moves, and what team would y'all like to see on Hard Knocks this year?
Oh, okay, that's enough time. I get to go first. Yeah. Oh, okay, I was about to say, go ahead.
So I go first. I think that I'm a 49er fan, so I'm biased. I think that the 49ers always have the best storyline, but I think the Baltimore Ravens, man, after that Lamar Jackson, everybody said that black man couldn't get his money. Shit, I've said it on this podcast. I didn't think the black man was going to get his money. He got paid, and they got him a slew of receivers, including Odell Beckham over there. So I think that would be a wonderful storyline, showing them gelling, you know, getting their installing their offense and showing little highlights. You know, Odell going to be making hella catches in practice. I think that would be the highest rated team if they were to do it. So my pick would be the Baltimore Ravens.
I think I'm going to agree with the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't even think about that. That is a solid pick, but I just had two off the top. I want to say the defending champs, the Chiefs. When's the last time somebody won back-to-back Super Bowls? A great quarterback. I don't think Brady won his back-to-back, right? Brady didn't win back-to-back Super Bowls. So, you know, I think John Elway did in 97-98. And I can't think of anybody else since then. So, Mahomes is an all-time level talent right now at quarterback. Probably arguably the most talented quarterback ever to play. Talented, not greatest, but most talented. And, you know, he's on a good run right now. So, I think that would be a great storyline, you know, seeing the preparation for the defending of the Super Bowl championship from last year. So, other than that, I also thought, and I got to get my clown on, but the Raiders, because it's a shit show over there in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? So they need to go ahead and go to Vegas in the Sin City and go watch that shit show over there of the boo-boo-ass Raiders. That's always a good storyline to see how garbage they are and to see the horrible preparation they have for their season. The sorry-ass Raiders or the champion Chiefs.
Well, thanks. Thanks. No, it can't be Ken. He threw that assist straight to me. So thanks. Thanks, Ronnie. I am a Raider fan.
Are you seriously a Raider fan?
No, you know what's funny? That's how I know we don't pay attention to each other as much as you think we do, because I noticed the Seattle Supersonic Gary Payton jersey. You never notice that when I don't wear a Laker hat, it's normally a Raider hat. This one's a Magic hat because it goes with the throwback for the AV Elite jersey, but that's not important right now. The Raiders, though, got your bummy-ass Jimmy G as our quarterback. I'm so mad. Like, you have no idea how upset I am over that trash, bro. I thought that they were actually going to bring back Colin Kaepernick. I thought this was the moment that they were going to bring back Colin Kaepernick because he's still better than Jimmy G. All the Niners this and the Niners that man is trash. Why didn't they keep him? I don't know. They wanted to go a different direction, and they put him on my team so that people like Ronnie can make fun of us, because loyal fans like myself who just want to see us win in the play. We just want to get to the playoffs and win one game. Okay, because the Raiders are the Clippers of the NFL.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't do very much. We win regular season games and we wear a lot of cool merch and we tailgate and we talk big shit, but we don't win very often and don't have very many Super Bowls. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I want to, you know what I mean? Because Caleb, you and I, we're both August 1st, you know what I'm saying? So you know where I'm going with this. I really wanted to not get like Russell Westbrook, you know what I'm saying, on my team as my point guard. Oh, you did. You wanted that. I didn't. So I got Jimmy G, and I'm so upset. Like, but I would love to watch it though. Could you imagine watching it?
Yes.
It would be great. It would be great. It would be great.
Great to you.
It'd be great.
That's Jimmy G. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah, 5-star television, I'm telling you.
Who you got, Ken?
You know what, man? I like to see the Aaron Rodgers story unveil a little bit, man. To be honest with you, I mean, you know what? In some analysts' eyes, I mean, he's revered as one of the best quarterbacks ever. Well, the best quarterback ever. I think I've heard Stephen A. Smith quote him on that. But yeah, man, I like to see whether or not he can turn the Jets around. I like to see that.
I think that the Jets had the one of the best offenses and the rookie of the year offensively and the rookie of the year defensively. So they set up, you know, the only thing they were missing really was a quarterback. So they're saying that Aaron Rodgers was the missing piece and that, you know, the Jets should be a major Super Bowl contender now that they shored up the quarterback spot.
Hell, Aaron Rodgers is old as fuck. They be acting like these dudes are still in their prime. Aaron Rodgers ain't about to do shit. He old as fuck. Like, over there. Like, act like this is 2012 Aaron Rodgers. That man is old as dirt.
He just won an MVP 2 years ago.
You know Aaron Rodgers been folding in the playoffs every year. Aaron Rodgers has won. I love Aaron Rodgers' talent, but let's not act like Aaron Rodgers is this big-ass winner. This dude be choking in the playoffs and throwing dumb-ass interceptions. This dude fold every single year. Like, I
ain't no faith in him, huh, Ronnie?
None. Not a little bit.
So what you got,
y'all? Oh, it's my turn? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. First and foremost, we don't need to talk about none of y'all teams. We need to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, you know, because I remember last time I was on this podcast. Dang, this year I have been a fortune teller. Oh my god, this is crazy. The guy that just entertains has been giving putting game on y'all. But anyways, y'all said that my Seahawks was gonna be trash and we weren't gonna be anything without Russell. And since it's talking about the underdog story, I mean, we came out and we surprised everybody and we did what the Raiders couldn't do. And we had a quarterback that everybody wrote off. Was like, who's Geno Smith? Who is Geno Smith? And Geno Smith put himself in the category of MVP, taking the trash team and doing something with it. On a side note, happy birthday to my boy. That is the defensive coordinator. for the Seattle Seahawks. What up, Deshaun? Happy birthday, bro. Even though I already texted you that. But happy birthday. But Seahawks. That's a Seahawk Nation all day, every day. That's what it is. 12th man. We fly high. Balling.
Seahawks is blue.
Seahawks is ass.
Seahawks is blue. We better than the Raiders, though.
Nobody will want it. Nobody will want it. Nobody will want to see the Seahawks.
The obvious. We better than the Raiders.
We're not saying who the best, though.
Don't talk about the Clippers of the NFL. Don't talk about the Clippers of the NFL.
We could beat the Raiders. Us five on this podcast can beat the Raiders. That's not an accomplishment. Being
at least we got a quarterback. That's right.
Don't talk about the Clippers of the NFL. It's not fair to me or Kalen.
So BET
slap in our face.
BET Awards was just this weekend, man, celebrating 50 years of hip hop. And hip hop is getting more money than ever. We got hip hop billionaires now. We got hip hop multimillionaires, you know, and a lot of these hip hop heads are flipping hip hop into businesses outside of music that are becoming very lucrative. So you see a lot of these gang members that are making it in hip hop and going legit with their illegal money, and these RICO charges are coming down on them. So we all know Casanova 2 times. He went to jail on the RICO with the Gorilla Squad gang. I don't know exactly the name of the gang, but he went down. They hit him all with the RICO, and now he has been officially sentenced to 15 years in jail. We got the YSL RICO going on. We got YMW Melly on trial right now. Taxstone just got, 35 years for the killing with the shooting with Troy Ave. They giving out football numbers. They used to say that back in the day, and now that's something that's like that it has made a return. They're giving out football numbers to these rappers specifically to make examples out of them. What are y'all thoughts on Casanova getting his 15 years? And do you think that that's going to make these youngins in hip-hop wake up and try to fly legit and stop all the scamming and all the bullshit because it ends up catching up with you? What's y'all thoughts?
Caleb, before I say what I say, get a definition of a RICO charge real quick.
Let me Google it. I don't know.
So it's basically organized crime and running like an underground illegal empire, and you finance people. So it's like racketeering, extortion, drugs.
So you're using illegal funds to fund legal businesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought so. Okay, so that's the reason.
No fun.
Power.
I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying? I'm supporting, you know, the movement of doing this. But I'm not saying that I'm not. That's the fucking American way. Why is it a big deal? Because of the skin color? Half of these fucking billion-dollar Fortune 500 companies were fucking brought out on illegal money, drug money, crooked shit, like bullshit corporations. Like they've done this from the beginning of time with all of these businesses, all of these major Fortune 500 companies were built on dirty money. This country was founded on dirty shit. So that's the reason why it hurts me, because it seems like it's okay for them to do this and build this big power of control of this country and build everything the way they can control everything.
And you right. Got
bullshit to get all the way up. And now that these dudes, they want to hit them on RICO charges. Like, and then within hip hop itself, I'm a big Jay-Z fan, but Jay-Z, he says all the time how he started his business. Like, it ain't snitching on him. The motherfucking mega got a bar that says, I came in this motherfucking 100 grand strong, 9 to be a sack from grinding G-packs. He told you that he started this shit with drug money. No RICO charge for him? By the definition of a RICO charge? So I'm confused as to what is what. Like, if certain people could get away with this shit, but certain people can't get away with this shit, like, what's trying to be proven here? And, you know, I'm always going side with the plight of the black man on all of this shit, because I believe it's always going to be some race shit. That's some unfair shit, because that's the way this country is. So I'm just saying, I want to bring up that point about it, because it looks like, you know, a lot of these companies were started just like that, man. Come on, man. These companies all weren't started from legit fucking money. Come on, dude. Come on. Like, everybody think about that for a second. Like, think about that shit. It wasn't, a lot of these companies weren't started from legit funds. It's American way.
But Ronnie, I mean, I understand that, but look how many lives have been lost in the midst of what's involved inside of a RICO case. You're just looking at it from I would say, like, the lucrative standpoint and how everybody else has done it. But what about how it's torn down the Black community? There's a bigger picture other than what it's been successfully been able to finance, is what I'm saying.
You're right. You're right. But how many, like I said, these Fortune 500 companies and all these old school white-owned companies tore down the Black community too. So I'm not saying it's right, bro. I'm just saying they got away with this shit and weren't punished for it and didn't give anything back for it. But we got to be punished for it. It has to be consistent. Both was wrong. Both was wrong. They did this shit and got away with it and still doing this shit to this day. So I don't see how it's wrong for us and not for them. That's all I'm saying.
It's definitely wrong for both, Ronnie. But
no one talks about it, though. No one talks about them. They only talk about us. No one talks about them, Ronnie.
I'm not denying that, but we can see what the landscape of America was built on. Why would you ever expect the media to extort that kind of characteristic? I don't get it.
I don't expect
you expecting too much, brother.
I'm not expecting it. I'm just bringing up the point since we're on the subject. I don't expect them to do shit. I already know Malcolm X said never let the expect the national media to portray us. Right? I already know. I'm just saying. I'm just bringing it up as a point. That's to show, like, just because we can't expect nothing don't mean we shouldn't point it out and try to wake more people up, see what's going on. Because a lot of people are asleep. A lot of people don't even care. So I'm going to talk about it every chance I get because it's important. We can never progress if everybody don't start talking about it and get on the same page.
Let me ask you one more question, Ronnie.
Yeah.
I like this dialogue between you and I. At what point do we assume and protect responsibility for our actions without looking at the white man? At what point?
Okay, I'm gonna say never, because you got it's like a tree. In order to pull a tree out and successfully pull a plant out or a weed out, you can't just cut the top off of it. You got to pull it from the root. If you don't pull it from the root, it's gonna grow back. So we can't put band-aids and try to stamp some shit that has already been fucked up. This has been a generational trauma that Black people have faced. People say, oh, there's been other oppressed groups. Yes, there has. But every oppressed group has been hit with reparations and a chance to repair and replenish their culture. But us, we haven't had that. 400 years of slavery to segregation. And what happened during, so people just talk about slavery. Let's talk about what happened during slavery. Women had to see their husbands get beat and killed, their children fed to alligators.
So, Ronnie,
men had to see.
Let me interject real quick. So, basically, we're not to assume any present day responsibility, is what I'm hearing.
It's hard to present day. I'm going to tell you why I say that. Let's just keep it real. A number of our people is far gone. The conversation we having right now, they probably, it's a lot of people that are serious and be like, that nigga need to shut his dumb ass up. Shut the fuck up. Like, ain't nobody, a lot of people ain't trying to hear this shit. So I'm saying a lot of us are too far gone because of them. I don't think it's as much that can be done because we don't have enough that are on the same page. But that don't mean I'm not going to stop trying. I'm never going to stop trying. But I think we're all too far gone because of them. And I'm always going to point to them and what they did to us.
To answer Kalem's question, when he said pretty much what they learned, no, they're not going to learn based upon it's fast money. And in the world and the system that we are created is everybody's trying to get a fast dollar. So when you're trying to get that fast dollar, you do things that are sometimes illegal. I mean, this country was built on illegal stuff. I mean, we're all in California. At one point of time, California was not called California. California was called Mexico. It was Mexico. It should still be Mexico. But we came in, took it, right? And now it's ours. And doesn't the government make, don't we pay taxes? So the government came in, stole land, right? They came in, stole the land, and now they tax us on the land that they stole. Okay, cool. We're like that. Okay, that's a big RICO, if, you know, if you ask me. But who's asking me?
Oh,
so,
my God.
At the end of the day, we try to demonize rappers and what they are doing. They're only doing what they know. And in the case of with it all, okay, cool. Their consequences is that they're getting their years or whatever. But why is their year so much? 15 years? But then what about sex trafficking, right? That's a big business that a lot of these celebrities are in, and they got their own little islands, right?
Speaking of that, they said that the submarine, Titanic submarine thing was just a news cover up. Because there was like 400 something Jeffrey Epstein emails that were recovered, and over the weekend, while everybody was worried about the submarine, these emails magically were deleted, ceased to exist. No one's talking about that.
Oh wait,
we're talking about the
sex trafficking. You know, nobody wants to talk about it. So laugh if you want to, but your boy I've been right about some things.
Hey, to piggyback on that, it's also ironic that that you're making the same artists who signed contracts to labels to follow the rules that they set in place for them. They are probably doing what's within the contract. Like, let's just think about the lyrics in general. Someone approves the content of every artist before they publish the tracks, before the masses see them, right? Or the masses hear them. Why would you punish someone that you already know said what they said before it even came out? Shouldn't the AR get punished? Shouldn't the production company get punished? Shouldn't the market, like, shouldn't a lot of lives, like Ken was saying earlier, shouldn't there be more people affected by this RICO case than just the artist who's saying the lyrics? And I hate to say, because
that's getting the money from the label,
right? It's literally the target audience isn't even us. We're not the target audience for these artists. It's the suburban little white boys. You know what I mean? The little white girls, the ones who don't know the streets, who've never been to the streets, who are curious, who bite their nails and going, "Ooh, I wonder if I went there, would I get shot? Is there really drive-bys all the time?" Like, all the content they hear, they want to see it for themselves, but they can't. So there's your audience getting what they want, and then you punish the person who's giving them what they want, so that way they don't actually do the crime. It's not for us. We're just the pawns in the game, and we're just not thinking about what we're doing as we're doing it. We're signing contracts with, you know, for a dollar amount, and then doing what we're told to do, and not knowing that there's consequences behind every action. And like y'all said,
I agree.
And like y'all said, it's like, you know, the things that happen with children all across America is more or less hidden behind some of the things that we're seeing within the music. And Ronnie's not wrong neither. We were set up to fail from the beginning, but it's up to us to make better decisions, regardless if we're not, you know, regardless where we are. We have to look at the long run. If you're going to give me $100,000, you're going to give me $1 million, what all am I really going to have to deal with? And like, is there a way for me to get a big homie like Ronnie to like come with me into these meetings, so that way we could really sit down and hash out all the logistics? Because I don't know them personally. I don't have that degree. I don't have that intelligence, and I need help. So like, if I can put you on, if I can get on, I'm going to put you on. So help me, help us. You know what I mean?
But correct me if I'm wrong, Kalen. Let's say you do it that way, Mayor, right? Mm-hmm. I think Caleb said in the beginning he got in trouble with what was it, Gorilla, whatever, Gorilla yeah. Gang or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
Because he was guilty by association.
So what's going on? If you just paid attention to what happened with Lil Bootsy, Lil Bootsy got caught on an Instagram Live with a gun in his waistband, but then they pulled him over and his homeboy took the gun charge. But then the feds were able to prove that the gun was his because they can show him on Instagram putting the gun in his waistband. Then Bootsy goes and does an interview, and in the interview, the interviewer asks him, so what happens if you got a gun on you and you get pulled over and something happens? And Bootsy says in the interview, one of my homies gonna take that charge from me. That's his gun. So they're incriminating themselves on Instagram Lives, and they're incriminating themselves in interviews, and this is being used to take them down in court. Casanova was famous for going on Vlad TV, going on No Jumper, going on these different platforms, telling all these war stories about how he's a guerrilla gangster, and this is the gang he did, and telling jail stories about how he was running the yard, and he was the big nigga in jail. He's telling all these stories, you know, these war stories, but at the same time incriminating himself as a gangster. And then
so they couple dry weeks, snitching on themselves.
And then a yep. couple weeks before this, the sentencing, he said that he distanced himself from the gang and he's no longer a member of the gang. This is what he tells the judge. And then 2 days after he disannounced the gang, he gets stabbed up in jail. So now you still get hit with the 15 years, and now you denounce the gang. Yep. So now you're gonna do 15 years PC.
And then when you get out on the streets, you can't rap about the same stuff that you was rapping about prior because you PC'd up. It's a vicious cycle, man.
And you spent all your money on lawyer fees, so now you don't even got no money to get out to.
So that sounds like a setup.
Vlad and all these plot No Jumper, why would they ask them all these questions? Like, shouldn't they be held? Like, why would they do that shit? Like, why would you have an interview about him?
Ronnie, who's in control? No, it's not even about the journalism.
You know where I'm going with it. It's about who's in control of the entire mainstream media. From the artists to what we see in advertisements to what we see with the sports, everything is strategically programmed for us to follow what we're supposed to see. I mean, like us right now, we're freely talking about whatever we want because we're on politicking, because Kalen put us on in this great platform to say
what Ronnie is saying is we don't have any contracts to not have to say certain things. When Jay-Z gets on those same platforms, they don't ask him those questions.
No, but he doesn't. Jay-Z doesn't do that.
Let me chime in.
Look at the one Jay-Z and Kevin Hart did together. When he hit certain subjects, it went left.
Let me chime in on that. So I absolutely agree with Ronnie because I do interviews. Ronnie does interviews. Ken does interviews. I met both you, y'all, and Alvin. Interviewing you guys, you do the monumental people, so you do interviews. So we know that it's all about how you curate your own content, and we choose to be a platform and choose to be journalists and people of integrity, where we stay away from those subjects, even if that's what the artists want to talk about. If that's what they want to do, we let them know from the get-go we're not the platform to do that. And that we're not going to allow you to come on our platforms and do that. And we're not going to ask them type of questions. So though that is the popular thing to do, at some point, the people with these outlets have to have some type of integrity, whether the artist does yes. or not, and have some type of responsibility. And that's why me and Ken talk about this all the time. We hate the word media because before it was journalism, and journalism is held to a certain standard. Now journalism is done by rappers and motherfuckers that don't give a fuck. So just because they think that they Googled something that they can ask, they felt like they've done some homework. And it's ruining the game because now you can say something and then with no research, somebody can just run with that as fact. And if you say it and 100,000 people believe it, then that's it. It doesn't have to be real. to the people it's real.
Right.
You know what? You
they
know
are what, not asking Jay-Z oh. the same question.
Go ahead.
You know what? You know what's interesting is I think a lot of people don't understand and they give Vlad a ding, but Vlad is actually an investigative journalist. So those questions that he asks, I mean, they follow suit. He's supposed to ask those type of questions. It's not necessarily on the interview platform because artists, they have the autonomy to go on there. They have even more autonomy not to answer certain questions. And look, an artist, they can request for the interviewer not to ask them certain questions, man. So I don't think we should always blame it on the platform because no one's putting the gun up to these artists' head and telling them to go on these platforms.
But nobody blames it on the platform. That's what
no, sure they do.
Nobody blames it on the platform.
Hold on, wait. Yeah, they do. They blame Vlad for sure.
Obviously, they do, or else I wouldn't have brought up Vlad. There's No Jumper and Adam 22. Of course, they blame it on the platforms. What are you talking about?
I agree. Oh. They definitely give Vlad. They say Vlad the feds. That's the number one thing. They say Vlad the feds. Don't go on Vlad if you're a rapper that's doing something because they're going to use the Vlad interview to get you. So,
but you can go on Vlad, though. You can go on Vlad. You can just decline certain questions. Uh-huh. It's not that hard.
It's your choice to answer. You're choosing to incriminate yourself.
But it's your choice to ask the question as well.
Yes, but you don't control the answer.
You don't dictate. You don't control the interviewer. What are you talking about? You don't dictate. The questions are already said.
You do control. When you're interviewing somebody, you do. Well, at least when I do, you do control in the aspect of how you want the interview to go. Yeah, now they can fly off their handle, so you have the choice as well not to ask a certain question.
But even
you're
if
not asking Jay-Z the same questions that you're asking.
But Jay-Z's an anomaly. We can't use him as a
okay. He's an anomaly. Why is he an anomaly?
There's always an exception. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
You're not asking them the same question.
If you're asking me how come he's an anomaly, you wouldn't be bringing him up as Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't. No, I'm saying okay. Something. You're not asking J. Cole the same questions that you're asking Meek Mills, right? You're gonna talk a little more street when it comes to Meek Mills. So
you're not gonna ask anybody the same question.
Okay. You're not gonna ask anybody the same.
All right, let's get to this last topic. Go ahead, last thoughts, Ronnie, before we move on.
All right, yeah. I as an interviewer myself, each interview I conducted, you know, like Caleb said earlier about the integrity thing, I always ask each and every person I interview, is there something that you would prefer me not to ask you? And I give them opportunity. So yes, I at least can, out of respect, they don't want to talk about nothing. I'm not going to bring up nothing to incriminate nobody. But I'm just saying, like, I always make them think about that. Like, look, is anything on here going to get you in trouble, whether it's me asking about women and you got a wife, like shit like that. Like, I want to definitely make sure I try to give niggas the respect of what they want to talk about.
For sure. So let's get to this last topic, man. So the House of Representatives, you know, it is majority ran by the Republicans. The Republicans have the House, the Democrats have the Senate. So as you remember, when Trump was in office, it was opposite. The Democrats had the House and the Republicans had the Senate. Well, they're doing the same thing that the Democrats did to Trump. Now they're doing it to Biden. A vote of 209 Republicans voted all yes for impeachment articles versus against Joe Biden, while all 206 Democrats, not one, voted in favor. But because they have three more seats majority, they pushed through articles of impeachment for Joe Biden. So they did it in the House two times for Trump, and now it's like going tit for tat, and the Republicans are returning the favor, and they have pushed impeachment articles. So it is a dispute about the border. Basically, Article 42 closed the border. That's why Trump was talking about building the wall. That's why he was you heard about the kids being separated from their parents. That was a tactic that was being used under Article 42 to discourage people from coming over the border and crossing illegally. Well, Biden got rid of Article 42, and ever since then, people have been coming over like nothing. They're just walking over the border. There's really nothing to stop them, and it's been a major problem in California. It's been a major problem in Texas. It's been a major problem in any state that's been bordering Mexico. So what are y'all thoughts on this articles of impeachment, as they're literally going tit for tat, and now the Republicans are doing the same bullshit that the House did. I mean, that the Democrats did to Trump. We've seen Trump get impeached twice. Once it hit the Senate floor, they didn't even consider it. And that's exactly what's going to happen with this. Once it hits the Democratic Senate, they're not even going to look at it. What's your thoughts?
Well, at least they trying to keep that same energy. I mean, I've been saying it from the beginning when Smoke and Joe got in, like, it's cool and all, y'all, we all got Trump out, but now are we keeping the same energy that we did with Trump? When Trump did something wrong, we were all on his neck. Like, oh, get that nigga out of here. Like, oh my gosh. Right? And then when Biden hasn't done not a damn thing, oh wait, he's trying to take away your ability to, he wants to be able to record you anytime he wants to and be able to get into your phone anytime he wants you want to, but nobody's talking about that, right? So now let's keep the same energy. Like, if you're gonna do one thing to one president and be on his neck, be on the other president's neck as well. Ain't nobody coming out that voted for Joe. Ain't nobody saying, damn, I messed up. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't have voted. This dude falling off, you know, falling down, don't know where he's at, can't give a speech. Like, this dude don't talk to nobody. He say, oh, wait. He say, hey, if you ain't black if you don't vote for me. And he got black people to vote for you and vote for him, and he hasn't done a damn thing for us. I'm still waiting for my check, Joe. You didn't give me my full unemployment when I was unemployed. You only gave me a couple months. You supposed to, anyway, Joe. But I like it. Keep the same energy. That's all I'm saying. Just keep the same energy.
I think it's ironic, personally, that I learned this from Caleb. Democratic or Republican, there's really not, you know, two different parties. It's all one party. We're one United States, right? And there's only one real power that's controlling us all, and it's not either of those two parties, right? So let's impeach Biden. Let's impeach Trump. Let's create a little bit of havoc right before the election, right before the very next election in what, 6 months? Less than 6 months now? You know? All these good petitions I've been noticing, you know, like a lot of older people. I don't know if you guys see it in your communities, but my community, we have older people that sit in front of Walmarts and Vons and stores like that. And they ask you if you want to sign petitions about the different policies that's going to be put on the next ballot for you to vote on and everything. And everybody, oh, no, thanks. I don't want to read about it. I don't want to sign anything, because no one cares. The general public doesn't care. The people who are trying to impeach are what? More politicians who are wanting just to do what? Create more narrative on television or on social media so that we all create what? More havoc and anxiety about what's to come next, because we have no faith in anything at all, especially not in humanity. So what's the real point? Oh, he's going to get impeached. Oh, it didn't happen. Why? I don't even know any of the politics. Like, I don't know the rules. I don't even know how that works. So when you try to impeach someone, it doesn't just happen. It goes to the board, or it goes to the floor. Where does it go again, Caleb? Like, you know what I mean? Like, think about it. People don't know the truth, nor do they care to know the truth. So this is all just what? Smoke and mirrors by who? Yaja Kenny?
Smoking Joe.
I think both guys made some fine points, but I as far as how this whole political game is, you know, it's really just a game, because it doesn't matter who the president is. Like, no one's bothered that there's been over 50 presidents in there's been one black president. There's been no Mexican presidents. There's been no Asian presidents. It's been nothing but old white men. Every time. Let me think about that. Nothing but old white men every single time. The House and the Senate are full of who?
Old white men.
White men, correct or incorrect? Correct.
Correct.
These guys are the same guys that are from the segregation era. You mean to tell me they have this change of heart within and they want everything to be fair and equal? No. None of these motherfuckers care about black people. So I don't care what happens to Joe, Trump, any of them, because at the end of the day, they're the face of the country, but we all know who controls it. Old white men. That's from that era. And when they die off, they stay in these positions so long so they can maintain control. Then they groom their seeds up to be the same thing and continue the shit. So what I'm saying is, ain't none of it for us anyway. So go ahead and beat Biden. I don't give a fuck. I don't really care if it's Trump or Biden. Ain't none of it for us anyway. And that's the truth. Like, people want to not see the truth and look at it a little deeper than what it is. That's what it is. The House and the Senate and all the major, the Supreme Court, all the top players in this country are old white men. Mm-hmm. And they've never loved us like that. And what makes you think they do now? I'm just saying.
Yeah, man. I guess we all share the same sentiments. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think, you know, when it comes to politics, I don't think that politics is a black man's wheelhouse. I believe politics are a conversation between two Caucasian men, because we don't have any control. We don't control anything. And like Ronnie said, Alvin said, to piggyback off what Alvin said, a lot of us aren't even abreast to the knowledge of just the simple concept of how government is ran and Congress and Senate and things of that nature. So, man, things like this, man, this is probably another minor distraction for something else that's going on to a bigger picture. It holds no credence to me, basically.
I agree with that 110%, and that is exactly why we bring up these topics, and this is exactly why this platform exists here, so that we can try to help educate and we can put it in terms that our people can understand. So essentially, there's three branches of the government. So if the president is one, then you can't impeach themselves. So two branches of the government have to agree to impeach one. There's the House, there's the Senate, and then there's the president. Because the House has already passed their impeachment, if it passes in the Senate, then two of the three can actually happen, and you can actually impeach the president, which is bring them under, it's like taking them to jail. It's bringing them under charges for breaking the law as the president. So without it, with the House, there's a majority. So whoever has more seats has the majority. And because the veto, if you have three more people like the Republicans did in the House, then even if all 206 Democrats vote no, because there's 209 seats in Republicans inside the House, they got three more votes than the Democrats. So it passes. The majority wins. But then when it gets to the Senate, the Democrats have the majority. So even if every Republican votes yes on it, every Democrat is going to vote no, and it's going to get shot down in the next step. So it is all semantics. It is all smoke and mirrors. It is all bullshit, because nobody is talking about the money. Nobody is talking about what really fucking matters, the inflation, the fact that we have lab-grown meat now.
Man.
They just okay, lab-grown meat. It's all this shit that the government is doing, and they're covering it up with bullshit-ass semantics and bullshit that really ultimately doesn't matter. Just like Ken said, he hit it on the head. It don't matter. Mayer said the same shit. It is all one government. It is the United States. And ultimately, they're basically just arguing about how to do the same shit. Some people want to put their pepperoni on the pizza before the cheese and put the cheese on the top, and the Democrats want to put the cheese down and then put the pepperoni on top. It's still a fucking pizza. It's the same shit. And that's what they arguing over, and they're making it seem like it's a big deal, when the only thing that really fucking matters is the money.
Facts. 100.
All right, let's get some shout-outs before we get up out of here.
Shout-out to everybody that continue to tune in and watch us, you know, live and recordings and everything. You know, we always going to come with the shit on here. You know what I mean? So shout-out to Caleb, you know what I'm saying, the moderator and the podcast. Shout-out to everybody that came on tonight, Mayor Ken, Missy, all niggas. You know, y'all, for sure, everybody that fuck with us, man. Going forward, we got a lot of shit cracking. Like, subscribe, and share, and also tune in. We got Media Day coming up, you know, in August, late August, August 26th. So tap in. If you want to hear anything about any details about Media Day, tap in with us.
Shout out to everybody. Always, once again, great and excellent dialogue. Topics that I feel like brings out the best in all of us. Shout out to Yaji Kedit. Shout out to Alvin, shout out to Ronnie, and most importantly, shout out to Mr. Politic and himself. Follow me at KenChroniclesMedia.com for the latest and greatest media, especially in the MMA. So thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, I wanted to shout out to you guys because I have missed you, brothers, man. It's been a long 2023. I feel like that mindset of giving your best every single day and not caring about what's happened the day before has really been my mantra. And I've just been, you know, 10 toes down, head down, just really trying to get it. So to be back with you guys, this is like therapeutic. You know, it's free space to just be myself, to bounce ideas off you guys indirectly. So just really grateful for you guys. So I'm shouting you guys out. And then also shouting out all the kids that just continue to inspire me every day to not give up on the dream and the goal, which is to be the best that I can be. So love you guys. No homo. For the kids, because they don't understand grown men actually having genuine love for each other.
That's real, man. I love each and last single one of y'all gentlemen on this show, man. The growth that we've all had individually and together, you know what I'm saying, is because, you know, iron sharpens iron. And one thing that we do is we motivate each other, we keep each other on our toes, and we share information. That's the biggest thing, you know. We share information, we share resources, and we don't gatekeep, man. The days of the gatekeepers is over. Now, make sure y'all check out all our content on the Politic Informed, man. Check out our blog. Make sure you listen to this episode and all of our podcasts on Politic and Radio on all DSPs. We on Pandora, Spotify, you know, what is that, Apple Music? We on everything, man. But I don't know. I got like a jolt of energy in me. I'm more motivated than ever. I feel like, you know what I'm saying, I'm coming into my own. And, you know, a lot of times I feel overwhelmed, but that feeling, you know, lets me know that I'm on the right path. You know what I'm saying? And every time I have a conversation with somebody, it's hard for them. I think it's hard for me to accept my own success because I'm always thinking about where I want to be instead of where I'm going. But one thing you know about me is I don't know what you're going to do with your life, but I'm going to get to it, man. Politic in the Podcast. We out.
Smoking Dank Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in the tall grass. Intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last. We up one, you see me. Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast at the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch, really famous homie, yeah. And you know it's in me, it ain't on me. So creative like I made Adobe. I've been balling like I play with Kobe.